Well, Aisha, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to Panola. What are you going to be telling some of the ladies at the rural gathering tonight?
Well, I'm going to share with them highlights of my career, and we're going to talk about some of the things that I've encountered, some of the women I've met, my attitude to life, why I think women everywhere should take more time out for themselves, and how important gatherings like these are to allow women to network, to meet friends, share problems, get some ideas, learn a few things about running a business, maybe improve the one they're already running.
And it's particularly important here because it's for rural women who are often, you know, not in big groups of women together. Have you got something sort of specifically tailored for them?
Well, I'm aware of the isolation that many rural women experience, and I did briefly live in the country in England when I was a very young mother, so I can identify with some of the isolation aspects of it and the loneliness of it, so I'll probably be drawing on that experience. But really with the internet and social media, no one is as isolated as they once were. So it's really really important that everybody embrace the internet and the social media. And if you're running a business, you need to use social media as a marketing tool.
So you're going to be telling the ladies to get on Facebook and Twitter?
I don't know that you need to be on Facebook, but I do think it's good to be on Twitter. My work as a magazine editor and a newspaper editor has brought me in contact with women all over Australia. And we're a woman just as much as city women, and I do go to a lot of country areas, and I do listen to what they say and their concerns. And really, we all have the same concerns, women. You know, we want the best for our families and the best for our communities. I've always thought women have a common bond wherever we are. You know, I've talked with women in Bangladesh, for instance, and we seem to establish a common bond, and it's usually something to do with families, which regardless of where we come from or what socioeconomic group, is usually paramount in a woman's consideration of what she's doing with her life. You know, access to services, health services in particular. These are big concerns for women in the country. Good education for their children. The question of whether you have to send your children away to boarding school in some instances. Whether there's going to be employment for your children in the areas. All of these things concern parents because, you know, women everywhere and fathers want the very best for their children. And so they have to consider all the options.
Can they have it all, Aisha, as a mum, a wife, or a partner and a successful career woman? You're a good example of that, but is it achievable for everyday women?
Of course. Of course women can have it all. It's only other people who tell us we can't. You know, it's a question of working out your priorities and determining what's going to work for you with your life. I mean, that's what you have to do. You have to say, well, if I've got a partner, if I've got children, if I've got a business to run, if I want to do something in the community, how am I going to make that work for me? So within that framework, yes, you can have it all.
I was wondering what you think now, as someone that's been in the media for 40 years, what you think about the changing media now and the problems with publishing and magazines and print media, about what you think direction it's going to do or take?
Well, I wouldn't see any of it as a problem. You see, I think that word is the wrong word. I think you've got to look at digital publishing as something that offers us a future. It's another step forward in our development. Yes, sure, we're going through an enormous period of change at the moment, and print is trying to determine which way it ought to go. And if we're going on, those companies that are putting material online, they're trying to find a good way to make it work, how to get money for it, because you've got to get paid for this, because we can't have news gatherers if we don't pay them. So that's an important part of the equation. But I don't think print is going to vanish overnight. I think products will be streamlined. I think some companies will produce newspapers with more streamlined content. They might have some of their magazine sections as an app, so you can download it and read it at your leisure. I think some magazines will convert to tablet publishing, but it will jockey. And we've always been told that the media is under threat. When radio arrived, when black and white television, colour television, the media was under threat, print was doomed. Well, we're still here. And we've adjusted and we've all learnt to work with one another, and I think that's where we're at. But if you look on digital publishing as something to fear, then it won't work for you. You've got to look at it as something that's going to really take us to another step in our development, and we'll be able to do things that we can only dream of in traditional print. It's really exciting, and that's the way it should be regarded.
I'm a multimedia reporter, and we got told recently now that we can share our stories through 352 different mediums. I mean, that was uncomprehendable years ago. do you see it's just all about embracing the technology and change and just keeping up with that times and staying on top of everything?
Well, it's wonderful that you're going to be shared with 352 other operations. Are you getting paid for it? That's the question I'd be asking. You know, hey, it's great, but who's paying you for that, right? So you've got to think about this. Your work has value. And we've all, it's not just people who run the companies that have to think about it, so do the people like you who supply the content.
There's lots of giggly women out here tonight, and they've actually, I've just been chatting to some before, they've covered everything today, from going to ribbon workshops, cowpea lessons, and there's also been a lot of sex talk and orgasm talk. Are you going to touch on anything like that and entertain them?
Well, you never know what will happen at question time, but I'm sure I'll be able to handle whatever questions the women at the rural gathering ask me. And if not, I'll call on you. I think when you're the speaker at dinner, and you've got to, and everybody here has been at the gathering all day, that you have to do a light and shade address. So while I might tackle something in a serious aspect, I'll also be hoping to give them something to laugh about. I mean, there have been a lot of funny moments in my career, especially, I mean, anyone who started a magazine called Clio has lots of funny stories that they can share that I think the women here will enjoy.
What did you think of how you were portrayed in Paper Giants?
It's quite bizarre seeing someone being you on television, but and I thought, oh, maybe I do walk like that. And then I was watching Asha Keddie, who played me. I was listening to her, watching her on a set one day, and I thought, God, I know that voice. And so I thought the series captured the 70s really well, and it was a time of enormous change in Australia, especially for women, and I thought that came across really well. And the fun we had, you know, while we worked hard, we still enjoyed our life. Work wasn't a 24/7 job like it is for all of you today. When we finished work, we finished work. We didn't have to go home and log on to prove we were a good employer. It's a big difference.